Just one thing I wanted to share, maybe two verses. Let's see, Ephesians chapter 6, okay, it's about warfare. How many people here have their kids here tonight? Stand up if you have your kids here. Please stand. Yes, you can, okay? I saw you, Tom. You can stand up. Stand up if you have your kids here tonight. It's amazing. The Easons were out with their children today, passing out flyers. Thank you for coming here tonight. It's amazing. Just thinking of, thanks for standing, Tom. You get called out because you were resisting there, okay? I'm going to embarrass you like Perio, okay? Yeah. Just the layers of warfare, if we could peel back families, you know it, just individuals, like what happens right here? If we can imagine what happens right here, the gospel truth being proclaimed, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ being proclaimed right here in a pulpit, how much the atmosphere hates that. They are so against the atmosphere. Satan is so against someone hearing the word of truth and it going into their heart. They resist on every level. They do not like what happens in a church service because they know what can happen. Do you know how much resistance goes against this word being proclaimed from a pulpit? From this word that's proclaimed from a pulpit, from it going into our hearts? You wonder why you go through what you go through. Well, peel back the atmosphere and the strategy of the devil to destroy, and we would discover it. Okay, it's a miracle we're here. What a conviction we have to gather together. But just two, and then put your finger in Revelations chapter 3. It's the Church of Philadelphia. But first we'll read, just thinking of this, maybe two verses here. Put on the whole armor that God has for you, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can't underestimate the depth of the wiles of the devil and the tricks of the devil. Maybe it's just a continual condemnation, a continual word coming from the atmosphere to destroy our identity. You know, maybe it's something catastrophic in our life. Maybe it's even something physical. Maybe it's some type of form of, you know, a thorn in the flesh. Cannot, you know, maybe it's something that's, you know, like Satan did to Job. You know, God allowed it, but it's the wiles of the devil. He's looking for someone. He's looking for you. And then it says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's no victory for us in flesh and blood. We'll never win a battle with our flesh and blood. But we wrestle against principalities and powers and against rulers of darkness in this world, against principal wickedness in high places. This is just layers of organized demons to keep us from hearing a word of truth in our hearts. Then, and you think of the day that we live in. You could say it's not getting any better. And I often think of like, well, you know, should I get a bunker that's, you know, 20 feet underground? Should I get ammo? Should I get a food supply? You know what I mean? Should I get silver and gold? And, you know, we think of all these different things, you know, against that day. But flesh and blood actually is not going to work in that day. And just this beautiful promise to the Church of Philadelphia. It says, verse 10, chapter 3, because you have kept the word of my patience. That's the gospel. You've heard a word, you've listened to it, and you've believed it, and you put it in your heart, and it's produced a fruit, the word of my patience. The Holy Spirit has done a work in your life. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, the worst time to come. Not just a temptation in your life, but even when the whole world system is lying in temptation. Like, I will keep you during that time. This is why we run to the church. This is why me, as a little sheep with hooves and no fangs and just like, you know, just a really slow body that, you know, that only knows where to eat if somebody tells me to eat. That's why me as a sheep, that's why we draw near to the body. And this is a mystical truth. You know, it's not, oh, did I get blessed tonight? Did something go into my life tonight that, oh, and now I got some blood? No, it's like we compile it. We keep putting it in. We keep learning what submission is. We keep learning what obedience is. And it's producing a protection in our life against that day. Because this is what I do. It's the only thing that I know what to do. So what do I have to do in that day? I just continue doing that same thing. And just, what does it say at the end? And I will keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world. All of the world. It's like it'll just go everywhere. All of the world. Like God will keep you as a little bitty sheep that has a shepherd, and you're kept by God. To try them that dwell upon the earth. And look at this. Aren't we ready? Aren't we ready? Let's like keep our eyes open for this, the coming of the Lord. Behold, I come quickly. I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hold it fast. Keep doing it. There's safety there. There's a reward there. So that's why we're here tonight. And no matter what you went through to get here tonight, you know, there's a reason, and you're going to receive some. We have a holy expectation. Every time we walk into this building, something's going to happen to my soul. So here we are. We're gathering together. Thank God. One last announcement tonight after service. We're going to have an Indonesian, South Korean meeting for Summer Harvest. That's going to be in the NBCNS Library, South Korea and Indonesia. If you're interested in that, we're going to meet in the library after service. Thank you. God bless you.
Okay, while we're on that subject, look at, it says in Ephesians 6, when we put on the whole armor of God, we have the sword of the Spirit, right? What if the Spirit doesn't have a sword? You have the Holy Spirit, the armor, and then what is the sword of the Spirit? The word of God. So what if the Spirit is there, but he doesn't have a word? Of course he has, but I don't have it because I don't have the Bible in my heart. I'm not hearing the word. So when we come, we live by every word that comes out of God's mouth. And that's where the battle takes place. The battle is right there at that point where a person's life is changed, where a person is protected or empowered, or has a calling, or is set free, or delivered. And that the demons are against us getting the word. So when we are listening and we get the word, how many of you have ever gotten a word from God in your life? Yeah, like, Pastor, are you out of your mind? Don't you know that? Yeah, we have gotten, like, through our lives, words that have been timely, words that I needed, or words that gave definition, words that released me from the world, words that built me up, words that guided me, words of patience, the word of his patience, the word, the sword of the Spirit, right? So you have the Holy Spirit, but he needs a sword. The Spirit needs a sword, and that's the word. And that's what cuts, goes through the layers of our psyche life, goes through the layers, and you start being really honest and transparent with God. And there you are, naked and open before God, and he can search your heart. And he has words that go to our spirit and our heart. I like what Pastor Gary said, that this is resisted. But just think of what has happened because it isn't resisted. How many people have... I love Pastor Philippe Siragi said one day, like, Peter didn't just walk on the water. It was a sequence. First, Peter saw Jesus walk on the water. Then the second thing, he said to Jesus, "Call me." And then Jesus called him, and then Peter walked on the water. And I think some of us as believers, we might get an idea how it should be, but the way it works isn't by how I think it should be. It's more what I see Jesus doing. What is he saying? What he says is that I want to connect with what he says, and then things will happen. So what has happened? Well, people actually left home. They packed up. They went home. They went off. They preached the gospel in Latin America. What happened? Well, people actually assembled. They actually started teaching Sunday school, because God said so. And they started to love their neighbor, and somehow at work they started to live with God, and at work they just started to pray for their boss, and their boss changed. Well, how did that happen? That was the sword of the Spirit, the word that went into somebody's heart and said, love your boss. Love those that are over you. Submit. Believe me. Trust me. And then we start living, and it affects our community. What is the devil against? He's against any of this happening. But for 50 years, what has been happening is a very simple thing, and that is that God has been good to us to help us and teach us and speak to our hearts in our worst day. By the way, our worst day is a lot better than the best day of the wicked. The wicked's best day is nothing compared to our worst day. Right, Big Dave? He told me that. Okay. Turn in your Bibles for our teaching tonight to Colossians 3. I studied a long time today on Psalm 73 and plan to preach on that tonight, but I don't feel led to do it. Pastor Gary's message, I think, is where we want to go tonight, from this verse or these verses in Colossians 3. So I believe this will be really good for us. Are you hid with Christ in God? Are we in a world that is against us? Are we part of a mystery that is revealed in the world that is contrary to the work of the devil? If you would look at Ephesians 3 for a moment, We can move around a little bit here. We see in Ephesians 3, this verse 10, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers and I in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We are in a world that has principalities and powers, as Pastor Gary mentioned, demonic powers, but also angelic powers that are in the world. And we are made from dust. We have mortal bodies, and we have a lot of frailty. We saw that in 2 Corinthians, where Paul speaks often about his humanity and his frailty. We see it with Christ in his crucifixion. We see how Christ was crucified in weakness, 2 Corinthians 13:4. Christ was thirsty, hungry, suffered, bleeding, tortured, slow, miserable death on the cross. But in that humanity is a mystery, a treasure in an earthen vessel like us. Also, with our mortal bodies, glorifying God. Glorifying God in our weakness. Glorifying God even in our unbelief. God is showing his grace toward us. When we fail or we sin, God gives us grace. Even more grace, 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 that contradicts our natural way of thinking. But we are called to live by faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4 says this. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk not by sight, but by faith. God justifies the ungodly by faith. He sanctifies us as we go from faith to faith. Romans 1:17. So we are really a spectacle. We are a spectacle to the world and to angels. We are the offscouring of all things. That's in 1 Corinthians 4. And if you look at that in the Greek language, offscouring is really what it says with the English word. It is you have a pan with some, you know, food on the bottom of the pan. It's already been, you know, but you're washing it, you scrub it, you scrape it. You scrape the pan from that crud, I guess, that's on the pan. You scrape it off and you throw it away. That is the offscouring. That is who we are. That's what the apostle said about himself. We are a spectacle to the angels. We are the offscouring of the world. We are the nobodies. We are the people that are living here with God as our Father, but we are not the first, we are the last. The last shall be first in the kingdom of God. So we have the text here in Colossians 3. I'd like you to read with me verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. How? How do you seek the things that are above? By faith. You believe God by faith. You stop your bad habits by faith. Just don't do it anymore. You just do it by faith. You seek the things that are above. What's that mean? I've always used that often on top of the refrigerator, just out of reach as a young boy, like looking for the goodies up there and kind of just trying to reach it. It's just beyond me. The world that we are relating to is the world beyond my pure reason, reason isn't enough to reach it. And my feelings and my personality, my dedication and my sincerity and my own righteousness, I cannot reach it. It has to be reached by faith. So if we are risen with Christ, then we are seeking the things that are beyond our reach. They are beyond us. When God said to Noah, build an ark, Noah could have countered, I never did that before. But instead it's like, okay, what size? What are you doing? What is God doing? What does God want to do in my life? What is God doing in this world? That's the big question. Not you and I, but seeking the things that are beyond us. What is God doing? God's building an ark, and he's using you. Really? Yeah, he is. Look at verse 1. It says, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, that's what we're seeking. Christ, the person. He loves you. He talks to you. He cares about you. He's kind. He's gentle. Seek him. He is quiet. He is loud. He is strong. He is weak. Seek him. He cares about you and me. We've been raised with him, and he is seated on the throne. Verse 2. Set your affection, King James, the other translations, the better one, set your mind on the things above. That's what you do with your Bible. You are reading it little by little, and don't get frustrated with it. Just keep at it, little by little. Keep reading, keep reading, keep talking. Keep talking about the Scripture. Keep reading it. Keep listening. Keep praying with the Scripture. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things on the earth. Not on the things on the earth. You know, I don't know where the world is going. Have you noticed? It looks pretty crazy, doesn't it? But it's not my world, is it? It's not mine. I live here. But that's like a strategy of the devil. Like the devil, a thief will say, a thief has two hands. This is a lesson on thievery. A thief has two hands and he's going like this. Look at here. And the other hand is robbing you. Pay attention. Transgender this and transgender. Pay attention. Do you see the politics? And on the other hand, they're stealing from you. What are they taking? They're taking my attention, my heart, my anger, my frustration. I'm living in the world. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at that. Lot. Look at that. Lot. And what is he stealing? Lot's life. Lot's wife. Lot's family. Don't let the devil steal your family. And don't get occupied with a strategy of evil that is on the earth. You are not paying attention to the things on the earth. You are walking with God, and God is leading Enoch in a plan. And as he walked with God, he was not on the earth. He was gone. Christ showed us, hey, you already overcame Sodom and Gomorrah. Walk with me. Christ showed us, hey, you already overcame your flesh. Walk with me. Christ showed us, you already overcame the devil. Walk with me. For your life is hid. Look at verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, I just make a few comments about that word, about being hid with Christ in God. Because I think God has a great big scrambling machine. And when you say your prayers, the devil cannot hear your prayers. He's not invited. God has a great way of dealing with our lives. Like the devil said, where'd he go? Well, aren't you the devil? Don't you know where everything is? He said, not really. I'm walking to and fro seeking whom I may devour. But I can't find everybody. Why can't you find everybody? Because sometimes, I don't know, I just can't find them. Is it because they are hid? I mean, they couldn't find Jesus. They couldn't get Jesus. Luke chapter 4, when he started, they couldn't get him and throw him over the cliff. They wanted to, but they couldn't get him. Maybe we could even say the devil couldn't find him, or he didn't have authority over him. I don't really know how to look at that except to say that this is a very real thing, that we are living in a world that does not know. They do not understand. That if they can get their hands on the righteous, they will shoot arrows. If they can slander and destroy and murder and kill and lie and accuse, they do. But I gotta consider that when you walk with God, there's something about you that is greater than the devil. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In 1 John 4:4. I just know that they could not touch Christ until it was the right time. And then it happened. God let it happen. It's the time. You can have him now. You can take him with your evil hands. You can take him and crucify him. But up until then, there was no way. We are in a world where angels visit us. We are in a world where we have a covering. We are in a world where we get words. We are in a world where our temptations are not as biting as they used to be. That temptation doesn't have that authority like it used to have. We are in a world where we are being built up in our faith, for we are seeking the things that are above. And when we seek those things, we are finding that God, and that's the key in Psalm 73, is that we have found God. None do I have on the earth but you, and none in heaven but only you. Well, I thought I had relatives in heaven. Yeah, you do, but more importantly, you got Christ, and you, your relatives have got Christ in them, and what we have in heaven is Christ, and that's the fellowship we have on the earth. Have you seen Christ in the body of Christ? Have you heard Christ in the church of Christ? Have you been encouraged by our brothers and sisters in Christ? Have we heard stories about salvations and deliverances that happened because of Christ? Has Mary Magdalene been delivered, and has Peter walked on the water, and has Paul been released, and Peter released out of prison, and many answers to prayers? And have we gone into parts of the world, and are there more than 750 churches in our affiliation where we voluntarily, willingly, lovingly, by the Spirit of God, love each other and care about each other in a community of fellowship with a divine covering? And God says, see, my son is raised from the dead. Do you see all those people? Do you see them love each other, pray for each other, forgive each other? They're not jealous about each other. They don't compare each other. They are seeking the things that are above. And that's delivering them from the world that is here below. Lastly, verse 3, for you are dead, your life, what do you mean? My life, let's draw it, let's make it like this. In the world, people look at life like this, is all I got my life, is all I got to get, you know, an education, I have a career. I got to marry the right person. I got to manage my thing and be really and succeed. That's what I have to do. I have to succeed in my life. And I got it planned. I know how, I think about how it can happen. I don't know how it will happen, but I need help. And so I say, God, help me with my life. My life. That's what I want. My life. That's what I want. My life. So this scripture says something else. You are dead. What? You are dead. You died in Christ. It's not your life. Listen to this. You are bought with a price. You know, usually the verse could read, you are bought, but it goes more. It goes, you are bought with a price. I like that phrase. You are bought with a price. That's blood. The blood of the Son of God bought us. When you buy something, you own it. God owns you. He paid a great price for us. He brought us out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. We ate the Passover. The blood was on the doorposts and we came out of Egypt and there was a price paid. Well, this is bigger than coming out of Egypt. This is about being delivered from hell, being delivered from judgment, being delivered from my sin, from the world. Your life is not your own. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ. So now it's different. What kind of life do we have? I might have a plan for my, but what about, I don't get the education. I don't have that career. I don't marry the ideal person. How about all that? My child is sick. How about all of these things that happen in life? All of them is for us to learn who Christ is. All of it. When my life isn't going good, it's like a blessing from God. It's like God is talking to us. And God is saying, your life is hid. And that means even it might be hid from you. Like I'm looking for it. I thought it was to go this way. It's like, no, your life is hid with me. Your life is hid with me. I want to show you. Seek the things that are above and you'll discover what life is. Seek the things above you and you'll find the Holy Spirit being your teacher. Seek the things above and you'll find the Holy Spirit filling you. Seek the things above and you'll find the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, you had a plan, but that was nothing compared to what I had for you. Guys, what I have for you is that your life is hid with Christ. Do you know what that means? You have Christ in your life. Man, I would rather have Jesus in my, I'd rather have a crazy life that I could have never figured out with Christ at the center of it than to have control over my life and get everything I wanted and end up with just a bag of dirt. That's all I ended up with. Eternally speaking. I succeeded in pride. I succeeded in my flesh. I succeeded, but it's only in the context of a certain period of time with certain values that don't endure eternity, that do not endure the gaze of God. The eyes of God, the heart of God. It's not about God. It's about your life. It's what it is. And I'm showing you something better. And that's what you want to find. And sometimes we find it by going through our way. I had a man in Budapest say to me, I met him in the back and he looked familiar. He said, do you remember me? I go, yeah, I think I do. When did I see you last? He said, 20 years ago. And I said, oh, okay, I think I do know you. And then I said, what's your name? We talked a little bit, and then the next night we went out to eat a little bit, and he gave me his testimony. He said, when you were living here, my life changed, and I was listening to you, and I realized who Christ is, and I became a believer. But then I chose to live my life my way. And I became a lawyer and various things that he's done and everything. And he said, you know what? I'm now, he's now like 50 years old. He's lived his way for 20 years. And he said, now I want to do it your way. And I'm like thinking, that's like not my way. He doesn't mean my way, but he's saying, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I did it. I did my thing. But now I want to follow Jesus. And I'm glorifying, we're praising God for that. That's amazing. Okay, let's finish here. The Spirit is here tonight. It's in a beautiful speaking to us. I believe that. Look at that again, and it says in verse 3, you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Could you imagine interviewing Noah? Noah, what did you plan for your life? You know, I had my plans. I had my three sons, and I had my plans, but then, like, what happened? Christ came into my life, and this is the life I lived. Did you choose that? No, I didn't, but I saw the things above, and this is what happened to me. And Peter and Paul and all of them, and all of us here today, we have a testimony that what we have gained is not the result of our goodness or our righteousness or our sincerity or our dedication. What we have is because our life that God gave to us in Christ is being revealed in your life as you walk by faith. Not living a perfect life, but living a fruitful one. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. So, to close, Pastor Gary said in the beginning, the devil would like to keep us from hearing these kind of things, ministering to us and our families. And I would say that more than ever before in the world that we are living, in this time when we don't know what a month will bring forth, what will happen in 3 months or 6 months, I would say it's the wisest thing, the greatest thing, but I would say it's highly resisted. There are so many distractions. I think sometimes we got to pare our life down. We got to get real lean in terms of what am I doing with my time. I've got to make church my priority. I want the people of God to be my family. I want to put on the Lord Jesus. When I get discouraged, I want to learn grace. I want to hear what the Spirit has to say to my heart. I want people praying for me and helping me live the kind of life that God wants us to live. But be careful. Not careful, but be aware. You can be taken out. Have you lived long enough to see what happens to people when they stop living by faith? Have you lived long enough and you've seen enough to say, I see that. I see what can happen. I can quit. I can go my way, live the way just do it that way. I know I can, but I really don't want to. I don't want to, because this glorifies God. The way we have chosen to live glorifies God. His grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul said it. Myriads of Christians throughout history say it. They say it is glorious, it is valuable, it is powerful. It has eternal benefit, eternal dividends. It is not a lie. It is reality. And one day we will see it. Let me do the Psalm 73 one point. It said, like waking up out of a dream, these people will wake up out of a dream and realize. I won't quote it, but I think Pontius Pilate was strong, powerful, made a judgment, crucify him. And then it was done. And then Pilate, in his life, did he ever wake up and realize, I made a mistake. You know, what did I do? Did Caiaphas? Probably not, I don't know. Do the rich people sometimes wake up? Do they realize? Do I realize what I did? I remember a doctor. He had a great career, doing a real good job, a very dedicated professional guy. He had a couple children. They grew up, and he said, they grew up, went off to college, and he said, I don't even know my kids. He woke up and realized he's in reality. Reality is, I don't even know my kids. I gave my life to my career, but I never really discovered or knew who my kids were. Rich people wake up out of a dream. Successful people wake up out of a dream. Wicked people wake up out of a dream. One day, God's reality will shine. There'll be some day it'll be realized. One day I'll see, wow, I lost my life. I lost my life. I gave in. I quit. I gave up. I became this or I became that. I lost my life. I wake up out of a dream and say, what happened to me? How did I get here? How did this happen to me? It happened to me. How did that happen? And here's the advice and the exhortation. Avail yourself to what God wants to say to you. Humble yourself before God. Be submitted to Him. Walk before Him. He will take care of you. Oh no, He'll promote you. You'll have an easier way. It's an easier road. You have a better life. And when you wake up, you go, you know, we're all kind of waking up at different times, kind of like realizing we see through a glass darkly, but one day we'll see more clearly. Right now, I don't think we are wrong. I think we are right. I think the Spirit is bearing witness to our spirit that we are walking in the Spirit. We have a direction in our hearts. We are humble by God's grace a little bit, as much as, you know, we know, we don't know, but we are before God trusting Him with all our heart. And He's going to lead us in a fruitful life. And our families will be blessed and our friends and our purpose in life, and one day we will finish and we'll really wake up and see that it was not a lie, that I am not ashamed what I believed. He was crucified and raised, and we've been seeking the things that are above. And our life, we are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Lord, thank you for feeding us, for caring for us, leading us, protecting us, opening our mouths, helping us to be integrated in our communities and with people at work and to love people and be very kind and wise and available and to offer services to help others. And for this play, which is absolutely a blessing to our church, thank you so much for every person singing, acting, playing, Desmond, Pastor Sturge, Ben Munson, Dave Castro, so many people, Ryan, the music, the band, everything about it. Thank you so much, Pastor Steve, who wrote it. Thank you so much for all that you're doing here. For our neighbors to come out these next few days, and may there be salvations and speaking to hearts. Thank you for this message tonight. May it be like nails in the temple, the goads and the nails in the heart, driving love deeper into our hearts, driving truth deeper into our hearts with the nails of your word, Lord. We pray, Jesus. Amen. Oh, yeah. One. Okay. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus as you are. Come to Jesus, please. Come to Jesus. It's a decision. Just don't just float through and just say, yeah, I believe, or just, but please say to Jesus in your heart, I'm serious, Lord. Please be my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen.